Introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
What is happening, my introspective listeners? We are back for another episode here on the Introspective Podcast. And we're going to talk about some things today that I think really is going to challenge your discipline as an entrepreneur. Really talking about some uncomfortable things in business too, you know, especially if anybody's ever done this. And I know you're probably going to cringe when I say this, cold calling. You know, if you've ever had to go and cold call, right? It can almost feel just the level of discomfort that comes from that can really take you to a place of resistance. And I've been there before. I'm sure anybody here has ever had a cold call. It's tough. Like, you feel like you're interrupting somebody's day, and the objection that people can bring to you, it can be really uncomfortable. But no need to fear, because today I have John Molyneux, who is the sales samurai. He is somebody who's really combined sales and martial arts as a martial arts expert with this extensive experience in cold calling door to door and on phones. He has done hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales in the last 12 months. He has sold a number of products and services over the years. He is incredible. He is a sales samurai. He began his journey in the 20s when he served at Her Majesty's Pleasure in the British Armed Forces. And even though he was not destined to be a soldier for the rest of his career, this experience set the stage for his entrepreneurial path to becoming the sales samurai. So without further ado, I bring to the show John Molyneux. John, what is happening today?
Oh, thanks for that introduction. That was something else, wasn't it?
Yeah, man. I love the uniqueness of your background. It's really interesting I've never seen this mixture of expertise that's been combined into almost this one area where you're combining martial arts and sales. And I find it really interesting that when people are able to combine an expertise in something like a martial arts. And I've seen some other instances. I had a guy who actually used hypnosis. He was like a certified hypnosis, and he was able to combine that with sales. And I think it gives you almost like a really unique advantage. So I want to start with that. Like, tell me about your martial arts expertise and how that really meshes together with sales.
Yeah, of course. I mean, after a while, it just became a no-brainer to come up with the sales samurai. It was just kind of one of them light bulb moments. But the reason that it kind of came to fruition was, in my younger years, I was into traditional boxing. I did a lot of boxing. And then when I was in the military, I was doing regular traditional boxing. But then when I came out, I did a little bit of Thai boxing and that kind of thing. And then I just kind of fell into karate purely because I was training to be an instructor. It was kind of a job. So I managed to find a job where they teach you how to become a sensei, be like Cobra Kai. So I got taught to be a sensei. But part of my role was to actually go out and build up the classes for the existing instructors while I was going through the training. So that's what I did. And it took like 5 years, but in that 5 years, I was knocking on doors every night. So I do like 2 or 3 hours of karate training most days, like 5-6 times a week. And then on the evenings, I'd be going out, knocking doors all around the local area to build classes up. Well, actually all in this kind of southwest of England. So pretty much everywhere, just knocking on doors every evening. So that's kind of where my sales and martial arts, they were kind of thrown together anyway, even from the beginning.
So when you were knocking, what were you selling? Just curious, like when you were knocking door to door, what specifically things were you selling?
Well, I was promoting the karate classes. So that's why it was tight. That's why it was unique, because I got the training for free. So I didn't have to pay for any of my grades or any of the sort of techniques or strategies or anything that I was taught to run the classes, but I was expected to build up the classes for the existing instructors. And eventually I was building my own classes up by doing door to door.
I see now. Got you. I thought at first I was thinking that you were doing karate, and then it was kind of like a side thing, like outside of karate, to go door to door. But you were actually so your whole day was wrapped into the same objective, which was to build that. So tell me about, like, so I've never done door to door sales. I have definitely been on the receiving end of the door-to-door sales. And I would imagine that, especially in this day and time, and if you don't mind me asking, when was this time when you started doing door-to-door sales?
Yeah, this was probably, I probably started it about 10 years ago. So, and like I said, did it five years. So in the last 5 years, I've moved on and done, I went from that door-to-door to sort of affiliate marketing, lead generation, cold calling on the telephones, high ticket closing. So pretty much everything you can think of that would create a sales samurai.
So you were doing door-to-door sales when people were pretty high in their objective and resistance of the door-to-door. Like people would be like, cause I remember when, like in the '90s, you know, when, cause I was a '90s kid, I grew up in the '90s, and I remember door-to-door salesmen seemed to be a little bit more received. Like it was like, it was a little bit more okay. And then as we got into like the millennial generation and kind of in the 2000s, it was like you'd hear somebody knocking on the door. You're like, everybody cut off the lights, you know? And it's like, wait a second, is he gone yet? Is he gone? And everybody's become this, like, they're so just like, nah, they put up this barrier. And maybe that's just like the little sampling world that I live in. But being that you were kind of doing this at a time, and maybe it's different in England, maybe that's just how it is out in the United States. Maybe that, like in my neighborhoods, that's how people are. But like, would you mind sharing some of the stories that you had as a door-to-door salesman? Like what kind of resistance would you get? And like, how did you overcome that? Cause I think that's a big, like anybody that thinks about doing door-to-door sales, like, gosh, the thought of just somebody slamming the door in my face or, you know, cussing me out or what have you just makes me cringe.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. And it does everybody. I wasn't any different to anybody else. When I first started knocking on doors, I didn't think, oh, I can't wait to have a few doors slammed in my face. So I can't wait to be told to fuck off or whatever. I'm really looking forward to that. It wasn't the highlight of my day, but I had a goal and a drive. I had a vision in mind, and that was a black belt. So it didn't seem to bother me that I got these doors shut in my face. So I'm in England, so we're getting drenched every night as well. It was torrential rain and gale force winds and stuff, and I'm out knocking doors. I didn't care because I had a goal in sight. So if you can be that one track mind, you're not really concerned about the kind of negatives or the things that go against you. And one thing I noticed about sales, and this is probably a life in general, is when you feel like giving up, that's when you push that bit extra. It was going the extra mile. I got awards for it in my door knocking days, awards for going the extra mile. So when, if say I was in a team and there was three or four of us and we're all drenched, we've all been out in the rain for like 3 or 4 hours, everybody's had enough. I've not managed to get any appointments that night. So I think, right, I'm going to knock 2 more doors or 5 more doors. It was them last ones. It sometimes even the very last door that you knock, boom, you get the appointment for 4 or 5 people. And then you just completely turned your whole night around. And you've not got wet for no reason. You've got wet because you're making money. So it's just that giving it that extra drive. That I think a lot of that probably stemmed from the military as well. So in certain respects, I may have had some advantages because it was that sheer determination to just keep pushing and keep pushing. And even when everything's against you, you just keep going. So that's the kind of mentality you need, I think. And a lot of people that are successful in business or entrepreneurship, or they kind of have that.
Yeah. I would imagine that the martial arts, when I think of martial arts, I think that there's two things that come to mind when I think about the benefits from being involved in martial arts. And the first one is it gives you tremendous focus and makes you more disciplined. And as somebody and more also resilient in a lot of ways too, you know, so. And that all kind of ties into what you're talking about in sales and doing something that is, you know, probably one of the toughest ways. I would imagine this is the toughest, most challenging way of doing sales, going door to door. And I mean, among anything, it's like, you know, I'm knocking on their door face to face. I mean, it's challenging, but if you're focused, and if you're disciplined, and if you're resilient to take it beyond those 2 or 3 extra that you were planning to do, just to see if you can, you know, get to that place of success, that all kind of stems from the root of martial arts that you had been training for, and it has been conditioning you to be that type of person. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, it is a lot of things are like mind over matter, aren't they? You kind of, we're all human and we all want to throw the towel in, especially if we're getting a lot of resistance or a lot of bad things happening to us. But it's just that kind of overcoming it and persevering. It's like when I say, for example, if we're on the telephones and I'm doing cold calling on the phone, what a lot of people will do is if they tell themselves they're going to call 30 numbers in a day, and then they call two numbers and the second person hangs up on them, they'll forget it for the rest of the day. You just defeated yourself straight away. Whereas if I do it and I get a hang up on that second call, yeah, I'm not happy about it, but I'll have a breather. I'll just go away and have a drink of water or whatever it is you do, whether you smoke or whatever it is you do, or like I just say, do breathing techniques. I don't smoke anymore, but once upon a time I'd have had a fag or a cigarette. But nowadays I'll just do a deep breathing or something, or listen to some music for 5 minutes, and I'll just get back on the phone again. So that gives you then chances again. So basically you've gone from them 30 calls. So if you'd given up off that second call, that's 28 potential chances you'd have had of making a sale. You just thrown away because you spat your dummy out because you had somebody hang up on you.
Yeah. My first job out of college was, I worked for Wells Fargo Financial, and yeah. I think it's okay to tell it. Well, I mean, yeah, it's my story. I worked for Wells Fargo Financial, and for some reason I was thinking in my mind, I was like, am I allowed to say that? There's like a copyright thing here that I need to be aware of. But anyway, I digress. So I worked for Wells Fargo Financial, and I remember, I'll share a fun story talking about cold calling. This is something you and the listeners will enjoy, because this was like total fail. I mean, big time bomb. So here's what happened. I was brand new. I was just fresh out of college. My first job out of college, I was, 22 years old. And my sales manager was like, okay, I'm going to shadow you today on sales calls. I'm like, all right. And I was ambitious, man. Like, I was ready to conquer the world. I was going to be top salesperson in the company. And it's all this, like, the Wells Fargo Financial, all it was selling, it was subprime lending. So it was selling basically loans to people who shouldn't be borrowing them in the first place, right? You know, people who had people who shouldn't have been borrowing money in the first place. So people with really bad credit. And I remember she sat behind me and she's like, okay, they had this thing called e-leads, and e-leads would show you like they call them warm leads because they're all customers of Wells Fargo, but you're just trying to upsell them or get them into new products. And they always try to sell like the debt consolidation product. They're like, if you consolidate your debt, it's going to lower your payments and this, all these things. And well, there was one guy pulled up his e-leads, and it would show you like a soft credit pool. And he had, I mean, this guy was drowning in debt. He had like 16 credit cards. I mean, all these credit cards are all maxed out. I mean, it was a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And my sales manager says, you should point that out to him on this cold call. I said, really? She goes, yeah. She's like, that, you know, that's a problem. Clearly it's a problem. So I get on the call and I call this guy. He picks up, and I told him, I said, yeah, I'm seeing that you got, starts spelling out all the credit card debt he had. Man, I have never been so cussed out in my life. He cussed me out up, down, left, and right. And he said, he's like, I will never, ever do business with the company. And the whole time I'm like dumbfounded, like, I'm so sorry. I get it. I understand. I looked at my sales manager. I was like, yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to point out all of these, all of these things and all these problems of their debt. Cause obviously like he knows, he's aware. He's probably something he takes to bed with him every night about his financial situation. He doesn't need me cold calling him to point that out to him and bring up,
Do you realize, rubbing salt into the wounds, you call it, don't they?
Well, and it's like, so it's like, let's get into some, like, let's talk about what are some things that you need to really be mindful of if you're going to cold call somebody? And like, what are some of the things that you should, and I think that's one of the things that you should definitely, I remember that was one of the lessons I learned. It's like, well, if I cold call somebody, I mean, obviously it depends on the industry you're in, but like this being finance and dealing with people's money, very sensitive thing, this is very sensitive. So if they're in a lot of financial trouble, you don't use that as a sales tool to point that out to them, because then it's going to create like, wait a second, are you throwing this in my face? And that was kind of the way that guy took it. But what are, in your, like, give me your take on this. Like, what are some of the things that you should be thinking about if you're going to cold call somebody? What are things that you should maybe be considerate of saying and things that you should avoid saying on those calls?
Yeah. Well, in a situation like that, for example, you know their pain points and they know their own pain points. So you have to be kind of tread the water carefully, don't you, and say, have you looked at all different angles, or have you considered different ways of kind of consolidating, or have you kind of attempted to sort of boost your credit up by different, I mean, different strategies trying different areas of kind of getting out of this, rather than saying you've got this and this going on and it's really diabolical and you're up shit creek without a paddle. Just kind of, try and fluff it up a little bit. But I've never done that, so that's kind of a little bit sort of, should say, new to me. So I'd have to kind of try different angles and that kind of thing. But the thing with cold calling is, if you're doing a real cold call, they don't know who you are from Adam. They don't know what you do or anything like that. So you kind of want to get straight to the point. They know you're cold calling them because they don't know you. You can't say, "All right, mate, it's such a body. How's it going?" Because they don't know you. So you need to be kind of straight to the point. Yeah. And don't try and pull the wool over their eyes or anything like that. Don't try and be too clever with it. Just literally say, "Right, so I'm calling from such and such place. We're just wondering if you've tried this and this method for your marketing strategy or whatever it is." And then you're like, "Well, yeah, we are. We're quite happy with ours." And on, "All right, excellent. So you're not even considering looking at any other angles or any other options at the moment?" "Well, maybe. How about if you let me send you an email? What's the best email to get you?" Do you know what I mean? So you're just trying to slowly break them down. And if you can get through to, that's why a lot of people get confused with what a cold call is. If you've emailed somebody or you've had some kind of, that's not a cold call anymore. A proper cold call, they don't know anything about you. They don't know anything about your service. They don't know where you're calling from, anything like that. So that's a real cold call. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just again, it all depends on the situation as well. If you're ringing a big company, you're probably going to have to try and get past the gatekeeper and stuff. But if you're already speaking to the right person, just have a laugh with them. Just try and break the ice as well. That's always a good way. If you can get a bit of humour out of somebody, just say, "Look, I'm cold calling you today, mate. How's it going?" You know, just say something like that. So like, well, at least they know straight away that it's a cold call. You know what I mean? Just kind of don't take yourself or them too seriously.
Yeah, I have had people call me and they would call and I'd be like, "Hello." And they're like, "Hey, may I speak with Jake?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is him." And they're like, "Oh, hey Jake, how are you doing today?" I'm like, "I'm doing fine." They're like, "Oh," and they just started trying to like spark up small talk. I'm like, "I have no idea who this person is." I was like, "Who is this person?" And then they finally like got into it. I was like, "Oh, okay." Like I feel like very misled. It's like, if you just, like you said, just jump in, be like, "Hey, listen, this is what I'm calling about. And I'm just trying to see if this is something that would be of interest to you. And, you know, if we need to move forward, you know, we can move forward with it." But yeah, so that's, it's definitely a dicey game, I would imagine. Like, is it something where, whenever you're talking about cold calling, do you ever like, what's the metrics look like? What's the conversion rate that you think about? If that's how I'm doing my sales, like, am I thinking that I need to call 100 people to get the one sale, or like, is it like, what does that look like?
I think your numbers probably, it all depends on different industries, that there are slight different percentages, but you could be looking at something like 3 to 5 in every 100 or 2 to 5 in every 100. So it is literally, I mean, a lot of people say it's not a numbers game, but when you're strictly doing cold calling and proper cold calling, it is a numbers game. Let's not like mix with our words here. You're going to get a lot of people hang up. You're going to get a lot of answer messages. You're going to get a lot of voicemails. You're going to get a lot of hang ups. So once you get your head around that and you just literally think, right, every time I dial 100 people, I'm going to get 2 or 3 people show a slight bit of interest. So they're the only ones I'm interested in. I don't give a flying poo about the rest of the 97 or 98 people I speak to or hang up or vice versa. They don't concern me. It's like when I say to people they don't like to be ignored, they don't like rejection, right? So say for example, we're back on the doors, right? So I'm knocking doors. And I'm 50 doors. So it's just, I used to go off a 50 door evening. I want to knock 50 doors in a night, because straight away out of that 50 doors, I'm only probably going to speak to 20 people, because 30 people aren't going to even answer the door, or they're not going to be in. So your numbers are depleting straight away. So I might speak to 20 people. Out of that 20 people, I might get 3 to 5 people showing a bit of interest. So I couldn't care less about the other 15 people I've spoken to, or they've closed the door, whatever. It doesn't really bother me, because all I'm bothered about is that small percentage of the people that are going to. So when you start to think like this, the no's are irrelevant. All the no is closer to that yes. So if I have to speak to 20 people and I have to listen to 15 no's, I don't care about them because that's getting me close to those five yeses. So 15 no's is equal to five yeses. Or just keep doing the maths. And I'm not a maths genius or anything. I'm relatively average at maths, but that's all I ever do is just put it into, keep it into plain terms and use numbers.
Is there anything that people should look out for when they know they've got a yes? Like if I called you, John, and I said, hey man, I've got this really amazing product or whatever the thing is. And because obviously you're not going to immediately come out and say, yes, I guess it's just a level of interest that they have to entertain the conversation. And that's kind of where it takes it from. I just didn't know if there was something. Sometimes I used to have, like, in my lighting company, I would have this. We had, I called them green flags and red flags. And as we started having more consultations, now these were people who were coming to us. They actually reached out to us and said, I'm interested in learning about your, that was kind of our sales process. People would reach out.
Yeah.
Then they would schedule time to come into our consultation room to have that meeting about lighting for their event. And what we would do is, like, anytime we saw like a pattern of response that would lead to either a yes or a no, we would document that because we would be like, okay, anytime we would hear this, we typically knew, you know, or something around that same context, we knew that that would typically either lead or one or two directions. And depending on how early on you would catch it, you would know how to like gauge the level of follow through you should continue with, because you know, sometimes people just aren't qualified. So what do you think about that? Like, do you have any kind of, I guess, qualifiers or like triggers or cues in your head when you're doing these calls of like, you know what, when people do this or that, it's kind of giving me some direction on where to take it.
That's a great question. Well, the thing with cold calling, it's exactly the same on the doors as it is on the phones, right? You've got a very, very small window. When I used to knock on a door, when they answered it, it used to take me about 15 seconds to figure out whether it was an appointment or not. That's all it would take, because I can feel the body language and I can tell whether they're open to like me discussing something with them or not. Do you know what I mean? It's that small window. It's probably even smaller with a phone call. So it'd be, yeah, I'm just calling from such and such a place today. I just wondered if you'd consider doing this, this, and this for your business. Just be straight and honest with them. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to know, because they'll go, no, not really, boom. Or, well, yeah, I have kind of considered, boom, then you're in. Right, excellent. So why don't you let me send you a little bit of information by email? What would be the best email to get hold of you on? I'll send you all the information of what we do and everything. And then we can, if it sounds like it's up your street, we can book in a chat to discuss things further. Something like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you want to get that hook in straight away. So that's why with a cold call, you don't want to beat around the bush. You don't want to go, yeah, and doing all like rapport. When people build rapport and stuff like that, it's when you've got time. If somebody's booked a discovery call with you, they've already been through some kind of process. They kind of have a good idea of what they want. You've got time to build some rapport with them. But if you've cold called somebody, you haven't got that time. You've got to get that hook in straight away. So, yeah, my name is John. I'm calling from X and Y and Z company. I just wondered if you considered doing this, this, and this within your company recently, or have you looked at changing the X strategy to get you this in your company? So you haven't got time to mess about. You want to be straight to the point. Whatever your service provides, you want to ask them if they require it or they're looking to tweak it or whatever it is, whatever kind of angle you can get at them at, and then you're just going to get the kind of yes or no. So that's the difference with the cold call and the warm calls is you haven't got this kind of time to mess about and do things and stretch things out and build rapport and blah, blah, blah. That comes next. When you get to that stage, that's once you've managed to email them or you've managed to get that follow-up call, that's when you can do all that kind of stuff. But you have to be kind of quick off the mark.
Have you ever had do you have a story to share? Maybe you don't. I'm just going to put you on the spot for a second. Have you ever had a situation where somebody, you've cold called somebody and they've given you a response that leads to like a very clear no, but somehow you're able to magically turn it around to a yes?
Yeah, it happened the other day. I'm cold calling for real estate at the moment. And he said, listen, he said, I get people like you ringing all the time. I said, I know, yeah, but you haven't had me speaking to you yet, have you? And he said, well, how much does it cost? I said, well, I can discuss all that with you. It'll only take 20 minutes on a Zoom call. Is that, are you fixed for that? I'll send you the link now. In fact, while I've got you on the phone, I can get my calendar up and I'll book you in. What times are you available next week? Boom, just completely turning around, because he went from stone cold, no, I speak to you people all the time, I'm sick of hearing about it, so yeah, go on then, I'll get you booked in next week.
Wow.
And that literally, that took like 10 seconds.
You said you make it sound so easy.
Well, it is when you've done it tens of thousands of times. It is easy.
It was just that's like, oh, yeah, you never talked to me though. Like,
I don't care how many people you spoke to. You've not talked to me about my service and what we provide because it's better. You just say it like that. All right, okay, go on. I'll give you 20 minutes time then just to prove that to me.
You kind of almost makes you think, like, do people just do that to test you? Like, are they like saying that just to be like, hey, because they might be thinking that your response would be like, okay, sir, thank you so much, I appreciate your they kind of freak out, be like, you didn't freak out, you actually challenged it. You're just like, yeah, but you've never talked to me. I think there might have been some respect that came from him. He probably respected you. He was like, hey, I respect this guy a little bit more because he didn't take defeat. He just didn't accept defeat. He challenged me, and I want to hear more because that's the kind of person I want to work with.
Absolutely, hit the nail on the head. I've got to have utmost confidence in not only myself but the service I'm providing. I want you to win as well. The reason I'm cold calling you is because I want you to win with me. I want us to both win. So I'm not going to give up the first hurdle or the first objection you come with. I'm going to overcome it and try and overcome the second and third and the fourth until you agree to that call.
And I think that's probably a big mindset thing that people need to probably work on as they get into doing this type of sales. Is I think it really helps, especially with the objection and with the slamming of the doors in your face and the hangups, to approach it with the mindset of, I really want this person to win. This is all about getting this person win. I know that if this person does this thing, I can change their life in some way, yeah. Right? It could be that they have better health. It could be that they have more money, whatever that is, but I can help change this. So I'm changing somebody's life. So I need to do this. And I would imagine, and I bring this up because this is what made me think of it when you said this, like, no, I want you to win. And when you start thinking about it like that, I think it makes it a bit more, I guess, acceptable, least resistant in your own mind when you're approaching it.
Yeah, you've hit on a very good point. And this is where, I don't want to put a percentage because I don't know the actual facts and numbers on this, but a lot, I mean, I'd say quite a big percentage of especially new sales guys fall at this hurdle because they're too concerned about lining their own pockets and making the sale to benefit them. Mm-hmm. They're not going to listen to your pain points or what you actually want because they're all too concerned with what they want, which is to sell you something that probably you may not even need because they've not listened to you. That's the big downfall. Whereas if I listen to you and I want to help you and it comes to a stage where I can't physically help you because it's not a good fit, I'll say, right, this is not a good fit, I'm afraid, because we don't do things that way, or you're looking for this and you'd be better off with, and if I can do, I'll go, you're much better off speaking to Joe Bloggs about this because he does that and that. We do things this way. I'm not going to sell to somebody that doesn't need what I've got because that's a con man, isn't it? That's not a professional salesperson. So
yeah.
Always think about offering service and helping them. I don't want to close. This is what annoys me about closing. Closing is an old fashioned term when you, I think it's like from car sales and stuff like that. So Mr. Car Salesman would say, I close him on this Jaguar, or I close him on this Land Rover, or I close him on this Mercedes, mm-hmm. because it's a one hit wonder. He closed him because he made that sale. He doesn't really have to speak to him again because he'll take it to the Mercedes mechanic and he's done. So it's a close, isn't it? But if I'm offering a service where you're doing a coaching program or we're going to keep following up and you're going to be part of a team or whatever, then that's a service, isn't it? So I don't close. We kind of negotiate and we come to an agreement, don't we? So it's different. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of the time I don't even though it's like an industry used term, isn't it? I kind of don't really like to use that.
You know, the word I agree with you, and the word that I've gravitated towards that and my mentor, George Bryant, is the one who said is that, you don't sell people or close people. You enroll them into
that's a bad word. Much better.
You're enrolling them into what you're doing. And I think when you think of this is what's really key. And I was having this conversation earlier today with her name's Ashley Fernandez. She's amazing, and she does some coaching on high ticket sales and things to that nature. And yeah, we were talking about how, you know, as a coach or a consultant or anybody, you know, that's kind of providing that type of service for people, you'll see these situations where, you know, they'll close, what do we use the word close in this context? They're closing people, and then the results don't come about, and then the person gets upset because they didn't get the results, or there's some animosity there, and they mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like, yeah, it's, you have to, like, the reason we call it enrollment is because as the person that's doing the sale, you're also doing some kind of a qualification on that person to making sure that they're actually a good fit for whatever it is that you have to offer, because if they are, it's going to be great. It can change your life and they will get the results. But there are times where somebody may be interested and may have the money, but they're not in the right current state. They don't have the right things in place yet for that. They just don't know. And I've been through this even in entrepreneurship. You know, I've been sold, like, I remember the very first, actually I had a podcast coach, and he sold me on doing this podcast. I'm like, well, I don't have an offer. You know, does that matter? And he said, no, it doesn't matter. You know, you can sell somebody else's product, whatever. I'm like, okay. And then I paid for the course. And then I got my podcast launched, but I failed through the course because I realized as I got through it that I wasn't actually quite ready for this. I should have to do it like the way it was designed. It's like, I really need something to sell. I don't have anything to sell.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in the right current state. And then I got resentment towards that person because I felt like he was being dishonest and considering my needs in that communication. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. And I think that really plays into the enrollment piece too. It's like understanding that current state that person's in and making sure that they're actually qualified for working with you.
That's why empathy and putting yourselves in their position is such a big part of sales, because I remember a bit ago, and I ended up enrolling her actually because I think she did need it. But this was at the time I was working with he was a coach in anxiety. He was offering coaching for people suffering from anxiety, which is quite a common thing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the poor woman, she had 10 kids. I can't remember her name, but she had 10 kids. So you got to, and she was single as well. So she had a lot of mouths to feed and obviously bills to pay. So I'm like, well, it wasn't like a 10K package or a 15K package. It was like a 3 or 4 or something like that. And I said, right, we can split this up into monthly payments for X amount of months for you, if that's more manageable. But I don't want to put you in a situation where you're overcoming your anxiety, but you're struggling to put food on the table or you can't pay the bills. So Are you comfortable with moving ahead? We can do this for you. We can get you the help you need, but is it manageable? And in the end, she decided it was, but I wasn't going to be too pushy with her. And I was quite happy to say, look, we'll leave it. Do you know what I mean? I didn't want to be, whereas a lot of people just be, yeah, yes, I, but you've got to have empathy and see things from other people's perspective, because otherwise she might have just gone, signed up for it, missed a payment, and then wanted the money back anyway. Or, do you know what I mean? It's got to work for everybody. You've got to be, everybody has to be happy. It's got to be win-win. So if you're working for somebody else, so the customer has to be happy. The person you're working with has to be happy. You're happy because you get a commission. Everybody's happy. But if one of the pieces is missing, little puzzle, then it's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be win-win. And if you approach it as in, you know, the only person I want to win is me, because I want to be able to close this and say I hit my sales numbers, then yeah, it's kind of like you're going to get the short cash flares, the short-term cash flares doing that. But in the long run, it just drives your brand right into the ground over the long term.
Sales is, you've got to be in it for the long game. I mean, like today, I had a call today, and an inexperienced salesperson would have gone boom, 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 just wrestled the way through this call. It was a one legger, if you want to call it that way, because the business partner wasn't there. So I knew straight away. She said, it's not a really great time. I booked this call with you today, but things aren't quite in place. And I said, listen, I said, that's fine. I said, let's rebook it. When you and your husband are together, when's the best time for you? A couple of weeks? Okay, well, let's, and make sure if you're going to do this, rebook them in there and then. So I did it straight away with her on the phone. I said, when's good for you? Friday the 20th? Okay, what time? Boom. 10 a.m. Eastern time. Is it perfect? Boom. Get her booked in with her husband. I even sent husband the link as well. So they both got the link now. Rebooked in. Boom. I've got both decision makers on the phone. That's the way you do it. Don't wrestle and muddle your way through a call because you're just trying to get that sale, which this is the mentality of a new salesperson. They'd have just wrestled and bumbled their way through that sales call today and it would have been a flop. Whereas I stepped back and said, right, when's best for you? I need you both on the call. It's a big decision. This is about both your businesses. Let's get you both together. What's the best time to get you both together? And she was just like, yeah, let's do it. 20th, that's fine. So it was just a really smooth process rather than trying to bumble my way through it today and just blowing it up.
And those are called setters, right? That's like setting up the sales, the actual real sales call, as far as like your dare to enroll them, right, into the thing. Because it's the way you're describing it, it almost sounds like it's like a two-step process. And it was like this with my first company. Like somebody would call in and they would say, hey, I'm interested in lighting for... And this was like not your traditional cold call because they're calling us and they've already been kind of pre-sold by a referral partner, but still there's still a process there that you have to take them through. It doesn't mean you're gonna win the sale. So they would call and it's like, I remember it's like, listen, don't ever try to sell on that first call. Like you sell the commitment. And I remember like if somebody's willing to slot out 20, well, in this case, because we had a consultation room, like if they're willing to take an hour out of their day to drive to our office, sit down with us for an hour to talk about lighting, there's something to be said about that, right? That's a very different person than the person who's just like, because that was a big qualifier for us. Like if they say yes to that commitment, they're far more qualified than the person who's like, I'm just kind of tire kicking around right now, trying to see like what some prices are. I'm not really serious about anything. I don't really know what I'm serious about. I'm just tire kicking the tires, walking down the street, kicking the tires. And it's like, those people waste your time. It's like when you're ready to like take some serious looks at this commitment, let me know. But until, you know, while you're kicking your tires, like come back to me when you're done doing that, because I don't have time for that. Obviously that's the conversation in the head, but having that process where it's like that first call, and that's the way I understand, it sounds like that's what you were doing too, because you're getting them to schedule the deeper dive right into the next meeting.
There's two main reasons for doing it the way I did it. One, it looks like I'm being professional. I'm not trying to rush anything. I'm stepping back. I'm giving her the time to figure things out. I've said, look, I appreciate there's two decision makers in this. You're running this family business together. I don't want to give you the information for you to give him the information, which is a bit like Chinese whispers, and then him having any questions come back at me. I want to get you both on the call so you can both listen to it and make a comfortable decision together. Boom. So instead of me going through the process and doing it to her on her own and then at the end saying, because this objection is a common objection. You only need to have probably made 20 or 30 sales calls in your life. And I bet you at least two or three or four of them have said, I need to speak to my partner about it or my spouse about it. It's across the board, no matter what you're selling or what you're doing. So I've come across as professional. I've not rushed anything. And I've also overcome the objection in one fell swoop that comes up quite a lot. And now I'm going to speak to them in a couple of weeks. And I even said, look, I said, I think this is perfect for you. You're at the right stage to move on and scale in your business. We can help you do that. So I just left it on a really good. Now she's going to call her husband and say, right, we're speaking to John at Perro, a media in a couple of weeks. He was really professional. It sounds like they can really help us, blah, blah, blah. And she's just going to pass the message on. So when I get to speak to them both, I'm thinking that we're going to already have a good rapport there. I spend another few minutes building rapport again, getting to know husband, and then we're all connected. We're like the trio then, aren't we? Then we can kind of seal the deal. Hopefully that's how it should go anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's your sales process. And if you don't have a sales process, then you need to get one, because you need to think about, and this is a great interview, because there's almost like a masterclass to this as well, talking about, you know, the sales process, things that you need to be wary of what you say and how you say it. And there's some mindset pieces in here and how you should perceive cold calling and just kind of going through that whole, you know, that whole thought process behind cold calling. So I think this is cool. I've never had a conversation about cold calling before to this level. And now that like kind of diving into it and unpacking it and really thinking through it, I actually don't feel as, cause I you know, I'll be honest, I had a pretty negative perspective on cold calling. It's like, I don't want to do that. I will run from the businesses that require me to have to cold call people. I do not want to do cold calling. But after this interview, I've had a shift. Like, I'm like, you know what? Actually, kind of want to cold call somebody right now. That'd be fun. Wouldn't that be fun to do on a podcast?
Down, you're smiling down.
Wouldn't that be fun to do on a podcast? Just cold call somebody and just get them on the podcast.
We should do that.
That'd be fun. I think I'd probably break some like privacy laws doing that, but it would be cool. Just a thought.
Yeah. I mean, one of my missions is, Jake, is to change people's opinions on it, because it's not like going to break you. It's not going to hurt you. A phone being put down on you, the only thing that's going to hurt is your ego. Yeah. But once you get used to it, it's not going to even affect that anymore. So it's a win-win situation. If you want to drum up more business, just start cold calling people and just be straight to the point with them. Like I said, don't beat around the bush. Don't namby-pamby, or because they're going to see through that. The last thing somebody wants just to hear on a phone is somebody that they don't know going and just driveling on and like wasting their time. You want to be direct with them, straight to the point, and say, look, I'm ringing because of this. I'm from such and such a place. I'm ringing because I want to know if this interests you even in the slightest, or have you even considered this idea? So if they're still on the other end of the phone, you can tell the cogs are turning and they're thinking about it. You've got to the first base, or whatever you want to call it. We'll talk baseball. You're at the first base if they're still on the phone. So it's like you say, there's frameworks to it. If you want to be a successful cold caller, there's a ways of doing it. Plan your methods out. So what I'd say is, give yourself X amount of time. So I'm going to do 20 calls in the morning. I'm going to do 30 in the afternoon. So make sure you've got a structure. And then also do 5 calls and then have a break. Another 5 calls and then have a break. Or if you do 2 calls and you get that phone slam or that hang up, give yourself an early break. Just do it logically. Don't never, ever go, right. So say, for example, you get unlucky, because you do have unlucky days, and I call and I'm really pumped up and I'm ready to go. And I ring one and it was a hang up. I ring number 2 and it was an answer machine. I ring number 3, it's another answer machine. I ring number 4, it's a hang up. Ring number 5, it's a hang up. Do you think I'm going to carry on ringing numbers now? No. If you do, you're just going to get burnt out. You're going to get aggressive. The weird thing about sales is, after them weird hang-ups and hang-ups and engage, that 6th one could be the one. That could be Mr. I'm ready for this, happy-go-lucky, ready to do whatever your offer is. But if I'm already aggro and peed off because I've just had 5 really crappy calls, I'm gonna put that negativity onto him. Whereas if I step away and have a coffee or water and listen to my music and woosah and do some deep breathing, and then I'm Mr. Positive again, when I speak to him, boom, you're on the same page.
Yeah. And I think it could even go the other way. You might get really lucky and pick up the phone call and they pick up and they close. And then the second call and they pick up and they close. And the third call, and you think you're just like, man, I am like Jordan Belfort over here, just like making it happen. And
the funny thing is, you've hit the nail on the head. That is the beauty of sales. And that does happen. So you could be on a roll, and then because you're all pumped up and you're in the right frame of mindset, then you can escalate and keep going that way as well. It happens with when I used to do a lot of closing high tickets. So if I've got 5 calls booked in, and the first one doesn't show up, and then the second one closes, and then the other 3, if I've closed one already, there's a good chance I can close a second and maybe even a third. It does tend to, once you've got the momentum going, you're in the right frame of mind, it does kind of scale that way.
So John, we are getting near the end of the episode here, and man, I appreciate all the conversation and talking about cold calling. It's really been cool to learn myself and to, you know, have some shifts in perspective about it, because it certainly was something that I didn't have the most positive relationship with, and you've helped it change for myself, and I'm sure any of the listeners here would probably agree that by the end of this episode, that's the shift you're going to get. So I want to ask, like, how can people get connected with you? I know you've got a book as well. I'd love for you to share some information about your book, and let's hear it.
Well, it's called The Sales Samurai Master. It's available on Amazon. You can get it on paperback or Kindle. I wrote it in lockdown, actually, and I've been thinking about it for many years, and I kept kind of putting it off because I thought it was a mammoth task and everything. And I intentionally didn't do it too big. It's only like 130 odd pages or something. Reason being is it's a no fluff sales book. It's literally for anybody that's a brand newbie, or whether you're seasoned or what, and anything in between. So it's going to be good for if you're a brand new coach, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a small business owner. It's got nuggets in there that's going to be appealing to anybody. So, it's got bits about cold calling, it's got bits about closing, it's got everything, building rapport, following up with people. That's another thing that people gets overlooked so much is following up. People just don't do it enough or at all, even. Mm-hmm. You've got to follow up with people. You can't expect everybody to buy straight away. You don't do that, do you? If you're going to buy a car, you might go and look at it 2 or 3, 4 times over a space of a few months. It's the same with most things. People don't tend to buy, unless it's like clothing and stuff like that. People may buy that on the spot, but lots of things like in the selling industry, you may have to follow up at 2 or 3 or even 4 times. So mm-hmm. there's lots of different material in there, but like I said, it's no fluff. If you want to find out more or connect with me, I'm building my Instagram at the moment where I put martial arts. I do a lot of nunchucks and that kind of thing on my Instagram. That's salessamurai80. That's my handle on there. You can also find me on YouTube. I've got the Sales Samurai YouTube channel, but I've also got the Cold Calling and Closing Mastery, not only Facebook group, but also podcast show.
Perfect. Well, I'll make sure to add all this, everything about your book and how to connect with you in your show notes page, which for anybody listening, if you just go to www.introspectivepodcast.com/John Molyneux, and that's JohnMolyneux, that will take you to the page, and just let that be kind of your hub to take a journey with John, the Sales Samurai. However you please, get this book, get connected with him, listen to this episode, check out the YouTube clip, whichever pleases your current state at that time as you interact with his presence in the world that he's creating here, and making cold calling cool, like making it something that, you know, you can get excited about. I think you, like, let's look at it in a more positive light. I think you can get something to get excited about, and I think it doesn't need to be something that's so scary, and don't shy away from it. The resistance is there. It happens to us all. But John, for those people out there that are listening, just share some final thoughts. What would you say to that person right now who knows that they need to do it? They know they need to start picking up the phone, but they're just shy.
Again, it's all, we've mentioned it a few times, is mindset, just the way you think about things. What I tend to think, so I've got the opportunity now to speak to a lot of people. Not everybody that you speak to is going to be aggro or pissed off or, sorry, I didn't mean to say
that. No, you're fine. Yeah.
A lot of people are happy, and they're happy to speak to you. Regardless, I mean, what I used to find it a lot when I used to knock on doors, you used to get old people that answer the door, and they were pleased to see you because they're old and they're lonely. Not everybody you speak to is going to be negative and not wanting to speak to you. Lots of people, even if you don't get an appointment made, you're going to get a nice, not a lot of good feedback. You may even get referrals. You can get referrals from cold calls. That's another good thing you can ask for. Say, oh, right, I appreciate that it's not something you're looking for. Have you got any friends in the industry that might be? Oh, well, yeah, there could be. Just get them thinking and just try new things, try different angles. I'm not trying to say that cold calling is the be all and end all. I'd be naive to think that. But if you've got a sales team and a marketing team, make them work together. So you've got a marketing, you've got social media marketing, you've got one guy doing cold calling, you've got one guy doing email marketing. You know, you just I think what the problem is, some people will say, oh, I don't like cold calling. Cold calling is dead. So they don't even think of using it as a strategy. I'm not saying put all your efforts and all your whole, don't have a whole team of 10 telesales guys all cold calling. It might not be a good idea, but if you've got a couple of cold callers and a good marketing team, think of it that way. Just have it as a strategy, not the be all and end all.
Mm, love it. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for that and for being on the show today, bringing your expertise and your interesting take on looking at cold calling and the advice that you have. It's been a pleasure. I know the audience will appreciate your value as well. And for anybody listening, thank you for listening. And John, thank you for being here. And we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.